بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Hujurat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. So after forbidding raising the voice in the presence of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and calling him as people call each other, then Allah in this verse praised those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger and speak with him in good manners, without being loud, without being disruptive, etc. قال الله تعالى أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى. They are the ones, he described them, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. It meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their hearts pure, sincere for taqwa, as people who fear Allah and comply to what Allah orders them and abstain from what Allah calls them to abstain from. So therefore their hearts were filled with taqwa, with piety, and thus this rendered their behavior as Allah wished from them, as Allah wanted from them, with good manners in terms of addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, consequently, Allah spoke of the reward. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. Forgiveness from their sins, for their sins, and great reward for their righteous deeds. And in this, there is evidence, indication, that the true correction is the correction of the heart. Is the correction of the heart. They are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, At-taqwa ha-huna. Piety is right here. And he pointed to his chest. And the chest is the place of the heart. He repeated this thrice. He said, At-taqwa ha-huna. At-taqwa ha-huna. At-taqwa ha-huna. Taqwa, piety is right here. Taqwa, piety is right here. Piety is right here. And there is no doubt that the piety is the piety of the heart. As to the piety of the body parts, this is the correctness of the apparent actions. This may occur even from the hypocrites. This may occur from hypocrites. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about them. Examine what Allah spoke about them, how He described them. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, chapter 63, verse 4. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And when you look at them, their bodies please you. And when they speak, you listen to their words. So therefore now, the speech here in 49:3, in this verse we are explaining, is about the taqwa of the heart, which is the basis for correctness. We ask Allah to bestow this upon us. Some people do acts of disobedience, like isbal, lowering the garments below the ankle for men, or shaving the beard, or smoking cigarettes, and you admonish them, and you remind them to fear Allah, fear His punishment. So they will tell you, well, what matters is taqwa, piety, and taqwa is here. And he points to his chest, as if he is purifying himself, while he is committing the sins. So we say to him, clearly, had it been the case meaning you, if you had taqwa in your heart, truly piety in your heart, then your body parts will follow suit, will follow in suit, will testify for the correctness of your piety of the heart. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic narration, which is reported in Sahih Bukhari and in Muslim, and in Sahih Bukhari it is in volume 1, book 2, hadith 49, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. There is a piece of flesh, he said, in the body. If it becomes good, meaning reformed, then the whole body becomes good. But if it gets spoiled, if it gets spoiled, the whole body gets spoiled, and that is the heart. That is the heart. Then we continue to the next verse, verse 4. قال الله تعالى إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون. Verily those who call you from behind the dwellings, most of them have no sense. This verse refers to a group of people who came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and with them there were those who were rude. They don't properly estimate things. So they began calling the Prophet ﷺ from behind the chambers, meaning his wife's chambers, and raising their voices. And they intended for the Prophet to come out to say salam, to greet them. Allah stated about them, أكثرهم لا يعقلون. Most of them have no sense, no sound intellect. Here, the soundness refers to soundness in executing the affairs, because the intellect is of two types: intellect of soundness in running the affairs, and intellect upon which legal responsibility can fall. Meaning the person will be held legally responsible. As to the first type, this is the intellect of soundness, meaning making sense in what they do. The opposite of this is foolishness. The opposite of this is foolishness. As to the intellect of responsibility, the opposite of it is insanity. There is no legal responsibility on the insane or on the child. So when you say, for example, it is conditional when you make wudu, the purification for salah, that the person is عاقل متميز. عاقل meaning have intellect, sound in his intellect. Mumayyiz, being able to discriminate and distinguish things. So here the address is the address towards the intellect vis-a-vis the legal responsibility. But if we say the following statement, it is conditional in dispensing such and such wealth is that the dispenser be of an intellect. This refers to what? Him being, having a sound intellect, having sense in executing the affairs and in spending the money and the wealth, etc. So therefore here Allah negated that most of them have no sound intellect of or sense. Why? If on the other hand they didn't have the intellect related to the responsibility, legal responsibilities, they would not be blamed. And this is clear. Here Allah said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. So this is understood that some of them had sound intellect, and they didn't raise their voices, and they had good manners with the Messenger ﷺ. Then after that, he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Next, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ, and if they had patience till you could come out to them, it would have been better for them. It would have been better for them. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Meaning, if they would have been patient until you leave your home and talk to them, addressing them as to what they want, then that would have been better for them in terms of assuming the proper etiquette with the Prophet ﷺ, and their needs would be met. Because the Messenger ﷺ, no one came to him except that he fulfilled his needs. Then Allah said about himself, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is an indication that Allah forgave them. This is an indication that Allah forgave them and bestowed mercy upon them. And this is from His generosity, from the generosity of Allah, the most magnificent, the most high, that He forgives and He is merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed in His book that He does not forgive ascribing partners to Allah, to Him in worship, but He forgives other than that, from sins. So Allah will not forgive shirk, ascribing partners to Him in worship, worshipping objects, giving them divinity, attributing divinity to men, to prophets, to saints, etc. All of this is not is from shirk, from ascribing partners to Allah in worship, and Allah does not forgive that. And He forgives other than this to whomever He wishes. So anyone who may have committed a sin other than shirk, other than ascribing partners to Allah in worship, irrespective of the gravity of this sin, then he is under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He may punish him. And if Allah wills, He may forgive him. As long as what? He does not repent. Because if he repents, there is no punishment. But if he does not repent, then he is under the mashi'ah of Allah. He is under the will of Allah. Allah may forgive him, or Allah may punish him. Because Allah stated in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 70, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرًا وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Verily Allah forgives not the sin of setting up partners in worship with Him. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر. Let's begin from 68 to 70. From the beginning, please. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرًا. And those who invoke not any other God along with Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Nor kill such life as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause. Nor commit illegal sexual intercourse. And whoever does this shall receive the punishment. The torment will be doubled to him on the day of resurrection. And he will abide therein in disgrace, except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds. For those Allah will change their sins into good deeds, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Alhamdulillah. Now, our verse we were discussing is that Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim, that Allah forgave them, those who raised the voice and assumed the bad manner with the Prophet ﷺ. Because Allah stated at the end of the verse, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. This indicates that He forgave them and had mercy upon them. And that's why the scholars of Islam said concerning those who are at war with Allah and His Messenger and spread mischief in the lands, Allah stated in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verses 33-34, compare the end of verse 49:5, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful, which indicates that He forgave these people who didn't have patience. Compare that with the following: إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا أن يقتلوا أو يصلبوا أو تقطع أيديهم وأرجلهم من خلاف أو ينفوا من الأرض ذلك لهم خزي في الدنيا ولهم في الآخرة عذاب عظيم إلا الذين تابوا من قبل أن تقدروا عليهم فاعلموا أن الله غفور رحيم. The recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and do mischief in the land is only that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands and their feet be cut off on the opposite sides, or be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a great torment is theirs in the hereafter, except for those who, having fled away and then came back as Muslims with repentance, before they fall into your power, meaning the power of the Muslim leader. If they repent before that, in that case, know that Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. The scholars deduced from this verse that those mischief doers, if they repent before they fall into the Muslim leadership power, then the punishment is lifted from them. The punishment is lifted from them. How did they deduce this? They deduced it from the end of the verse. فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And know that Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Meaning that Allah forgave them and Allah had mercy upon them. And this is a matter for the seeker of knowledge that he should pay attention to this. Pay attention to these verses. If the verse ends after the ruling is made, then this is a proof, an evidence for what the names entail, the names that end the verse in what they entail. And that's why one man recited the following verse. Let's put the verse as I gave it to you, the underlined one. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And this person recited, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Listen, he recited the following verse, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:38. Cut off from the wrist joint the right hand of the thief, male or female, as a recompense for that which they committed, a punishment by way of example from Allah. Someone recited it like this, and then he said, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. A Bedouin heard him reciting this verse. And it ended with what? Look what it ended. Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So the Bedouin heard him. And so he told him, repeat the verse. So he repeated it. And said at the end, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. He said to him, repeat it again. So he repeated it. أَسَّى وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ. Now listen to what he repeated it now. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. He repeated the verse, cut off from the wrist joint the right hand of the thief, male or female, as a recompense for that which they committed, a punishment by the way of the example of Allah, and Allah is all-powerful, all-wise. The Bedouin said to him, now it is correct. Now it is correct. And fair, and indeed, this is the correct verse. It didn't contain Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. The end there, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful, is incorrect. The correct one is, and Allah is all powerful, all wise. So when he heard him repeating the first verse three times, he corrected him until he said it correct, and he said, now it is correct. Why? Because the Bedouin told him, لِأَنَّهُ لَوْ غَفَرَ وَرَحَمَ مَا قَطَعَ. Had he Allah forgave them and bestowed mercy upon them, he would not have what? Cut off their... you answer. You understand? There would have been no cutting. That's right. So, and therefore there is no harmony between forgiveness and mercy with what? With the cutting in this verse. However, It is what? It is might and wisdom. It is what? Might and wisdom. Now that fits with the verse. So contemplate this understanding, because it is very, very useful. You understand the point? You understand the point? See, this Bedouin picked it up right away. So therefore, back to our verse. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if they had patience till you could come out to them, it would have been better for them. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. This indicates that Allah forgave them and had mercy upon them. Then after that, becomes the next verse. قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبين. Or who you believe, if a rebellious evil person comes to you with a news, verify it, lest you harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful to what you have done. Fasiq. In ja'akum fasiq. Or who you believe, if a rebellious person comes. Fasiq. Who is the fasiq? The one who deviated in his religion and his creed and in his morality. Opposite to that is the just, the one who is upright upon his deen and upon his conduct. So, if a fasiq, rebellious evil person, who is deviant in his creed, in his religion, in his character, meaning he is a person who insists upon doing the disobedience and who had abandoned the obligatory acts, but his stage did not reach that of disbelief. This is a fasiq. Or he is deviant in his character, moral conduct. He doesn't care how he walks the streets or speaking very loudly, coming out to his work with things from home, taking things to show in the market and the like. Meaning, these things do not fit with one's conduct, moral and upright conduct. So this is considered also fasiq, meaning he is not upright. So if a fasiq comes to you with any news, like, for example, a man came to us who has his beard shaved. And the one who has his beard shaved is a fasiq, because he is insisting upon disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْفُ الْلِحَ, let your beards grow, command. And this person did not. Rather, he shaved it. So he is, فَهَذَا الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. He is from the fasiqs, because he is insisting upon his sin. So if he comes with the news, so we don't accept it from him because of his state of fisq. At the same time, we don't reject because of the possibility that he may be truthful. And that's why Allah stated, huh? What did he say? Verify it. فتبينوا. Did he say reject? No, he didn't say reject. Did he say accept? No, he didn't say accept. Rather, there should be what? Verification. In one recitation it came, فَتَثَبَّتُوا. In one recitation it read, فَتَثَبَّتُوا. Verify. And they have the same meaning. If someone says, there is no benefit in his news to begin with, to the information he is relaying, we say, rather there is benefit. How? Because it incites the self to what? To inquire and search. Because had it not, so if someone says there is no benefit in his news, we say no, there is benefit in his news, because it triggers and incites the person to ask, verify. And had it not been for his news, we would not have made any move. But since he brought the news, we say, maybe he is truthful. So we begin to verify and ask and search. So if the matter, the reality of the situation testifies for his truthfulness, we accept it because of a proof, of evidence for his truthfulness. Otherwise, we reject it. So, also this verse tells us, إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا. If a fasiq person comes to you with the news, then verify. It tells us that if a just person comes, then we accept his news. However, there is detail. There is a detail, or there is detail, or there are details required here, which are indicated by the Quran and the Sunnah. Example: testimony concerning adultery. If a just, trustworthy person, upright in his moral character, came and testified that so-and-so committed adultery, then we don't accept his testimony. Even though he is just, trustworthy, reliable, rather we lash him 80 lashes. We lash him 80 lashes. Why? Because he insulted this person by accusing him of committing adultery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ 80 جَلْدًا. As in Surah An-Nur, chapter 4, chapter 24, verse 4. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ 80 جَلْدًا. And those who accuse a chaste woman and produce not 4 witnesses, flog them with 80 stripes and reject their testimony forever. They are indeed fasiqs, rebellions. So, he is to be flogged 80 stripes and will reject his testimony forever. And we also judge that he is a fasiq until he repents. Now, if 2 people, just, trustworthy, etc., testify upon such and such person that he committed adultery, then we don't accept their testimony, nor do we accept it from 3 of the same kind. But if they are 4, then yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated what here? And those who accuse chaste women and produce not how many witnesses? 4 witnesses. And also in Surah, in the same chapter 24:13, Allah says, لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء. Why did they not produce 4 witnesses? Since they, the slanderers, have not produced witnesses, then with Allah they are liars. Even though they could be truthful, meaning as in terms of character. So if we have a 3, even if they are truthful, if we have a 3 whom we know that they are trustworthy and just, reliable, and testify that such and such committed adultery, they are with Allah rejected and they are liars. Each will be given 80 stripes will be flogged 80 stripes. Now, also, if a person comes and testifies that such and such committed theft, then we don't accept his testimony. Two men are required. And in other situations, if someone comes with a testimony that he saw the crescent for the moon of the month of Ramadan, then we accept his testimony, because the Sunnah proved that for us, that this is acceptable in this case. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma said people went to check for the crescent, meaning the night of the 30th from the 8th month of Sha'ban. So I saw it, he said, and I informed the Prophet ﷺ that I saw it. So he fasted, and he commanded the people to fast the month of Ramadan. On the other hand, if a rich person, for example, who may have been touched by a hardship, and then came asking for zakah, for charity, and he brought a witness that he was rich one day, and then he was touched by this calamity, and he became poor, then we don't accept the testimony of one, and we don't accept the testimony of two. Rather, they should be three. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to Qabisa, in a situation like this, and three witnesses testified for this rich man becoming poor, and those witnesses who had good and sound intellect were accepted in the case of Qabisa. So three who had sound intellect were accepted as witnesses on the situation of a rich person becoming a poor due to some hardship that occurred to him, and therefore he would be fit to take from the zakah. Also, it is accepted that a man, together with the oath of the claimant or the accuser, are acceptable. As, for example, if someone accuses someone that he owes him $1,000, so we say to the claimant, bring a proof. He says, I have one man as a witness. So if he brings this man, and he, the claimant, swears by Allah with him, then we judge for him. When we judge for him. And there are many other situations in terms of the kinds of testimonies. So therefore, the news therefore of a trustworthy person is, as you see, it requires details in regard of each situation. And with respect to the news of a fasiq, it depends until we verify. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed to the wisdom behind the issue of or requiring verification. He said, أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Lest you harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful to what you have done. That is because it means we command you to verify, lest you harm people. Because when the person is when the person hastens and does not verify, then he may transgress upon others based upon the news which he heard from the fasiq. And he may end up hating this other person, and he may begin speaking ill about him in circles. Then afterwards, if it becomes clear that the news were wrong, and this person who carried the news lied, then what happens? The person will regret what he took from action against this other person based upon this false report. And in this verse, there is proof that it is incumbent upon the person to verify as to what is carried from the news and information, especially due to the spread of following of lowly desires and bigotry. So, if a piece of information comes to you that such and such person is, and they speak of him, and you don't trust the carrier of this information, then in this case you must verify, and you must not rush to make a judgment, lest you will regret it later if it proves to be otherwise. And from here we know why in Islam came the warning against namima. Namima. Carrying news from one to another in order to cast discord, cause discord and dissension. So it is an evil matter taking the words of some people to others in order to incite or spread mischief amongst them. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ described it that لا يدخل الجنة قتات. No one who does this kind of discourse will be admitted to paradise. And he is called Namam or Qattat. So they go about with calumnies to arouse hostilities. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ once passed by two graves. He passed by two graves and said, these two persons are being tortured, not for a major sin to avoid. Rather, one of them never saved himself from being soiled with his urine, while the other, and this is the point of evidence, used to go about with calumnies to make enmity between friends. And from this kind is what sometimes is attributed to some of the scholars, that they had said such and such fatwa, which the scholar did not even say a word of it. Rather, it became understood in one way or another, in a wrong way, that he said such and such thing. Because it is possible that some people may understand from the scholar a certain word contrary to the intent of the scholar. And it is possible that the scholar may be asked a question and he contemplates it in a way which is different from the way or what is in the self of the person raising the question. So therefore he will answer in accordance to his own understanding. Then this man comes and says, spreads this word which is incorrect. And many are the statements attributed to noble scholars which are baseless. Therefore, it is important to verify what is related from the scholars or other than the scholars, especially in our times where many people are following their lowly desires and where bigotry is widespread, and it is people as if they are walking blind. Then in the next verse, قال الله تعالى واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم. And know that among you there is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he were to obey you, follow your opinions and desires in much of the matter, you would surely be in trouble. But Allah has endeared the faith to you, endeared the faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts, and has made disbelief, wickedness, and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger hateful to you. These, they are the rightly guided ones. These verses came after the one we have mentioned concerning the fasiq who carries the news and the order to verify. And the reason is that the Prophet ﷺ, he heard some news concerning some people which in fact were not true. So he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanded him to verify the news if brought by someone whose uprightness is not known. And it is as if some of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, intended from the Prophet ﷺ to punish those concerning whom the news came. But the Prophet ﷺ did not do this after this revelation came to him. Still, however, the lesson that we learn from this verse is general. It's not applicable only to this incident. Meaning, in all of our affairs, therefore, if we have some news from someone who is not reliable and he is fasiq, then we have to verify. Then Allah says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. And know that among you is the messenger of Allah. If he were to obey you, follow your opinions and desires in much of the matter, you would surely be in trouble. Meaning, it will be hard upon you. It will be hard upon you what you may ask from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in accordance with your own opinion and your desire. It could turn to be hard upon you what you demand from him. And in this, there are many examples to that. For example, take the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up at night to pray in Ramadan, the night prayer, and the companions were, he was leading the companions then, and they left while there was still some time of the night. And so they said, O Messenger of Allah, we wish that you would have continued with us this optional prayer the rest of the night. However, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. Whoever prays Qiyam, meaning the Taraweeh prayer, with the Imam until he finishes, meaning the Imam finishes the prayer, it will be recorded as if he spent the whole night in prayers. It will be recorded as if he spent the whole night in prayers. This is reported in Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi said this is a good and authentic hadith, and it is authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani as well. So he did not agree with their request to continue the night praying, because it would be hardship. Another example concerning some of his companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them. They checked, a group of three of them came to the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking how the Prophet worshipped Allah. And when they were informed about it, they considered their worship insufficient. When they compared it to the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they considered their worship to be insufficient. So they said, where are we from the Prophet, as his past and future sins have been forgiven? This is in Bukhari and Muslim, and in Bukhari is volume 7, book 62, hadith 1. Where are we from the Prophet, as his past and future sins have been forgiven? Then one of them said, I will offer the prayer throughout the night forever. The other said, I will fast throughout the year and will not break my fast. And the third man said, I will keep away from the woman and will not marry forever. Allah's messenger came to them and said, are you the same people who said so and so? Are you the same people who said so and so? By Allah, I am more submissive to Allah and more afraid of Him than you, yet I fast and break my fast. I do sleep and I also marry women. So he who does not follow my sunnah in religion, my way in religion, is not from me, not of my followers. So he warned them not to bring this hardship upon them. Similarly, also we learned during the discussion on fasting, the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, when it came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he intended to fast the day and then stay the night praying as long as he lives forever. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, called him, and he said, "Did you say that?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You will not be able to forbear that." And then at the end he regretted. And he said, "I wish I had taken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advice." So then he directed him to that which is better for him in terms of the fasting. So therefore, in short, this tells us that from the companions, there are those who have high motivation. However, the Prophet ﷺ does not obey them in much of that, or in most of that. Why? Because this will be hard upon them. If he would obey them, you understand, if he would obey them for all this high motivation that they may have, it will be what? It will be hardship upon them. Is that clear? You understand now the verse, what it means? Let's have the verse therefore again. Let's have the verse again, please. And know that among you there is the messenger, if he were to obey you, follow your opinion as in desires, in much of matter you would surely be in trouble. You'll be in hardship. You will not be able to comply properly. However, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said afterwards. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ But Allah has endeared the faith to you, made it beloved to you, and has beautified it in your hearts. This is very important. What's the connection between and he has endeared the faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts and his saying وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ And know that among you is the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم if he were to obey you in much of the matter you would be in trouble. What's the connection between these two verses? The answer is that you obey him, you obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that which he opposes you, opposes your request, opposes your desire, then you obey him in that. Because Allah has made faith beloved to you. So therefore, you put forward the obedience to the Prophet in that which he may oppose you. Because Allah made Iman, faith, beloved to you, and not only that, and he beautified it in your hearts. Therefore it means, if the Prophet opposes you in many of the matters which you like, then in this case, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَكْرَهُ ذَلِكَ You will not hate that, and you will not oppose him, and you will not have a bad feeling against him, or bad feelings against him. Why? Because Allah has endeared faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts, such that you will never abandon him. You understand this? You see the connection? A beautiful connection. Because of the faith which Allah had made beloved to you and beautified it in your hearts, you're not hate him and dislike him for not following what you requested from him, and you will not oppose him, and you will not have bad feelings against him because of him not going with what you want. You understand? Naam. Then you see, Allah said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ Allah حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ Allah has beautified the faith to you. Not only that. Listen, please. Not only that. But Allah added, وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ And has beautified it in your hearts. Why? Such that you will not abandon it after you establish it. That is because if someone does something because he may love it, the love may be accidental. However, if it is beautified in his heart, this thing which he loves, then the love will continue and will be firm. And that's why he said here, حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, and has indeed referred to you, and this is in the heart, وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, more, he added, beautified it in your heart. But when the beloved thing is beautified to the person, then he continues in it and he is firm on it. Then Allah stated, وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ, and has made disbelief and wickedness and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger hateful to you. These are the rightly guided ones. Allah has made disbelief, which is opposing faith, dislike to you. Similarly, this rebellion and sins, which is in opposition to uprightness, in opposition to submissiveness. So therefore he went from the highest to the lowest, because disbelief is greater from fisq, is greater than fisq, and fisq is greater than disobedience, and disbelief is being out of the state of Islam entirely, and it has its own causes. You know, apostasy has its own rulings. As to the fisq, it is lesser than fisq, is lesser than disbelief, but it is doing major sin and not repenting from it, like adultery, drinking alcoholic beverages, theft, slander of honorable believers, and the like. These are major sins. The doer is a fasiq. Isyan, disobedience, refers to the minor sins which are expiated by righteous deeds. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ وَالْجُمُعَةُ إِلَى الْجُمُعَةِ وَرَمَضَانُ إِلَى رَمَضَانُ مُكَفِّرَاتٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ مَجْتُنِبَةِ الْكَبَائِرِ. The five prayers to the five prayers to the next one, and the Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, and Ramadan to the next Ramadan, expiate that which is in between them, as long as major sins are avoided. So it means that they expiate the lower or the lesser sins or the minor sins. Then Allah stated about them and described them as those, they are the rightly guided ones, Rashidun. And we said Ar-Rushd meaning good running of affairs, and it refers to every situation in accordance with the situation. For example, in terms of wealth, then the good running of affairs of wealth is called rushd. And the one who is rashid, rightly guided in deen, is being on the upright deen. They are the ones whom Allah made love, faith beloved to them and beautified it in their hearts, and made disbelief and disobedience and fisq hated to them. They are ar-rashidun. They are the rightly guided ones. Then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. This is a grace from Allah and His favor. Meaning Allah is the one who bestowed all of that upon you. It is not from your earning, but it is from Allah, so that it becomes known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best where He places His message, and He knows best where He puts the faith in the person. So anyone whom Allah knows his good intention and sincerity, Allah will make faith beloved to him and will beautify it in his heart, and will make disbelief and fisq and wickedness and disobedience hated to him. And the one whom Allah does not see that in him, and he knows otherwise in him, then Allah spoke about them. He said in Surah As-Saff 61 verse 5, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Allah knew they are not fit for His message. They are not fit for Him. for them, for his guidance. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they turned away from the path of Allah, Allah turned their hearts away from the right path. And Allah says, also in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 49, in this respect, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُصِيبَهُمْ بِبَعْضِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. And if they turn away, then know that Allah's will is to punish them for some sins of theirs. So therefore sins are a cause for opposition and rebellion. And those whom Allah bestowed favor upon them are the ones whom Allah knew in them that they are fit for His guidance. قال الله عز وجل about that, فضلا من الله ونعمة. This is a grace from Allah and His favor. From Him, a ni'mah from Him upon them. And the ni'mah, the favor, is of two types. Favor in this life and favor in the hereafter. The favor in this life is connected to the favors in the hereafter. As to the disbelievers, they have the favors of Allah upon them in this life only. Only in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Dukhan, chapter 44, about them, about the disbelievers, 25-27, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَكِهِينَ. How many of gardens and springs do they left, and green crops, fields, etc., and goodly places and comforts of life wherein they used to take delight. They delighted, they enjoyed it, and that's what they're doing now. That's what they do now. The kafirs, they are enjoying these comforts and these favors of Allah which He gave them in this life. That's it. Only in this life. However, in the hereafter, if they die on their disbelief, then upon them there will be torment and curse. And we seek refuge in Allah from this. As to the believer, he will have the two types of favors. The favor of this life and the favor of the hereafter. Even if he, the believer, is poor or ill or infertile or has no lineage, then he is in the grace of Allah and the favor of Allah. Because as Allah described in Surah An-Nahl in 16:97, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. الله أكبر. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily to him we will give a good life in the world. How? Respect, contentment, lawful provision, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, paradise in the hereafter. Even if he has a loaf of bread only to eat on daily, even if he's ill, even if he has no children, even if he is in hardship, still he will be content. He will not object to Allah's decree and testing of him. And that's the meaning of submission. So in short, the favor and the grace is of two types. General one for all creation, believers and non-believers. The wicked and the obedience. And there is another favor, particular only to the believers. This pure one is linked to the favor of the religion that they are in, Islam, the religion accepted to Allah, and also the favors which Allah bestow upon them in this life. As to the early one, to the general one, it is particular to the worldly favor only, to the kafirs. Why? So that the evidence will be established upon the disbelievers. Wallahu alimun, and Allah ended this verse by saying, Wallahu alimun hakim. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. These are two names from the names of Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala normally links them. Knowledge and wisdom. Knowing everything, as Allah stated in Surah At-Talaq 65:12, لِتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah surrounds and comprehends all things in His knowledge. And Allah stated in Surah Luqman 31:34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. Verily Allah with Him alone is the knowledge of the hour. He sends down the rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. Verily Allah is all knower, all aware of all things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, 59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And with Him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them but He. And He knows whatever there is in the or on the earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls but He knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 5, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Truly, nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens. So the knowledge of Allah encompasses everything. And even the person knows that Allah encompasses everything, even that which he may hide in his chest. Then in this case he will be observant of Him, and he will fear Him. And then he will run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, flee to Him. And he would not say that which will anger Allah, nor that he will do something which angers Him, nor that he will conceal a creed in his heart which brings him the wrath of Allah, because he knows that Allah knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. And as Him to be the all-wise, He possesses the utmost perfect wisdom. And the hikmah, the wisdom, means that all that which Allah judges or rules is in agreement and in harmony with the benefits. And so He places things in their proper perspective. This is the meaning of wisdom. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules except there is great wisdom in it. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Qamar 54, verse 5, حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِي النُّذُرُ. حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِي النُّذُرُ. Perfect wisdom, but the preaching of warners benefit them not. وقال تعالى in Surah At-Teen, chapter 95, verse 8, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is it not Allah the best of judges? And also in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:50, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. And who is better in judgment than Allah for a people who have firm faith? So therefore, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, meaning the one who possesses the perfect wisdom, and also has another meaning, is the one who has perfect judgment. Because to Allah belongs the judgment, as Allah says in Surah Ash-Shura 42:10, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 59 فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم if you believe in Allah and in the last day. And no one should judge by his own mere desires. قال الله تعالى in this respect warning 23:71 ولو اتبع الحق أهواءهم لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن بل أتيناهم بذكرهم فهم عن ذكرهم معرضون. And if the truth had been seen or had been seen in accordance with their desires, verily the heavens and the earth and whatsoever is therein would have been corrupted. Now we have brought them their reminder, but they turn away from their reminder. This brings the end of the discussion on these previous verses, and we have covered so far 8 verses from this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. I ask Allah the Most High to make it a benefit for myself and for all of those who listen to this. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.